Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, found out the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is December 21, 2024, is the 21st day of Thebet, 2028. We will start our second service today and continue on where we left off from our last service. We're in the part two of a scarlet colored beast. Okay. So it says that we're in Revelation 17:8. It says in Revelation 17:8, for the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, for the beast that thou sawest, the scarlet color, said the angel, was and is not, as previously explained. For the beast first began to appear on the stage of the history in 1929. Therefore, the word was represents the period from the above stated date up until the time when he will be not. For the period represented by the word not is 1,000 years of the Satan's captivity, a millennium. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season, Revelation 22:3. For this period commences with the second coming of Yahshua and the end of this present world. Well, I have to upgrade you a little bit here. Yahshua comes in the 12th parabolic hour, and he leaves the work of harvesting of the first fruits, 144,000, and he supervises the 144,000 to go and harvest their brethren, the Gentiles, from all over the world here in the 12th hour. And then Yahshua gathers all nations here in the 12th hour. That's your 31:32-34, where it says, when the Son of Man comes in the throne of his glory and sit upon the throne of his glory, then shall he gather all nations before him. He gathers the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And so this is where we're at in the 12th hour. So Yahshua has already come a second time. He spends the 12th parabolic hour, the last hour, with the kingdom of David. I have a correction. It's in Matthew 25. It says, then said Yahshua unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Okay, it says in Matthew 25:31-32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay. So now Yahshua does this in the 12th hour when he comes back the second time. And then he has a lot. Of course, it says his work is before him when he sits upon the throne of David. Now, that's in Mark 1:32. It says, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Yahweh shall give unto him, his son Yahshua, the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So this is when Yahshua comes back. He has his 12th hour. That he sits upon the throne of David here in Judah. And so, Vicki Hollis, he just spoke a little bit here quickly whenever he said the period of of the millennium commences with the second coming of the Yahshua. No, it commences one parabolic hour after the coming of the Yahshua. Well, Yahshua comes in the 12th parabolic hour, the last hour of probationary time for this earth, and he has his great work before him. So much he has to do in the 12th hour. He's got to resurrect the righteous dead, and he's got to join them in the land of Israel that has been restored by Zechariah 14, war. There's so much has to be done, and then he binds Satan and begin the millennium. Okay, so it says this period commences with the second coming of the Yahshua and the end of this present world. At that time, the scripture of the Revelation 20 verse 6 will be fulfilled. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of the Yahweh and of his Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As the righteous dead are raised and united with the living, then the prophecy of the Jeremiah shall be fully realized. Well, this takes place in the 12th parabolic hour also. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was as a wilderness, and all the cities there were broken down at the presence of the Yahshua, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Yahshua said, For the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make it a full end. Jeremiah 4:26-7. When the cities are broken down and the land laid waste, then the hope of the redeemed shall be accomplished. For the Yahshua himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahweh, and the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. At that glorious time, when the saints depart from the earth, will be left in the darkness as described by the Jeremiah. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent. Neither will I turn back from it. For the whole city shall flee, for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. Jeremiah 4:28-29. Then as the saints enter in through the pearly gates, John's vision will meet its fulfillment. And I saw a throne, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Yeshua and for the word of the Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads are in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Yeshua 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4. For the righteous shall spend 1,000 years judging the wicked dead. For further study of the millennium, see a Patriarchs and Prophets, page 103, Great Controversy 321 and 662. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written, and the books according unto their works. Revelation 20:5-12. For the books contain the records of the wicked. The book of life is open and examined by the saints, and in it they behold only the names of the righteous. The names of some who once appeared in it were blotted out, while the names of others were never entered between its pages. Turning back to our subject, the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Thus far we have explained the first part of the scriptures quoted, was and is not. Now we note the word, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. In the millennium period, the wicked shall be judged, and at its close, the sure and the saints shall return to the earth. For the John bears witness of this, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from the Yahweh out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:2. As Yahshua with the saints and the city descend, then the following scripture will be fulfilled. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according unto their works. Revelation 20:13. Note the verb, were, been, in the past tense, shows that they were judged previous unto their resurrection by the resurrection of the wicked, for the Satan will be loosed from his captivity for a little season. See Revelation 20:3. In this manner shall the beast, world, ascend out of the bottomless pit. But the angel also said, the beast goeth into perdition. That is, After he ascended, Satan is loose for only a short season. He and the wicked shall live for 100 years after the resurrection. For the Shepherd's Rod, volume 1, page 164-165. For the Bible says that at the end of the 100 years, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, for this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of the life was cast into the lake of the fire, Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. For the second death of the wicked is an everlasting death, and they shall be as though they had not been, Obadiah 16. Speaking of the Satan's destruction, says the prophet, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Ezekiel 28:19. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua of the host, that it shall leave of them neither root nor branch, Malachi 4:1. In this manner the beast shall go into perdition. Webster's definition of the word perdition is total destruction, utter loss of the soul or of the happiness and a future state. It is summarized as follows. The beast that was is the period prior unto the millennium and is not. This is during the time of the millennium and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Is the period after the millennium, at which time all the wicked will be resurrected and go into perdition. That is, at the end of the 100 years, the wicked Satan and his angels shall be consumed by the fire. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose name were not found written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is, Revelation 17:8. What a surprise it will be for the wicked when they witness the great multitude as the sands of the sea for the number suddenly come to life. It will be something which has never entered their mind. Note the phrase, from the foundation of the world. This term includes all of the wicked since the world began and proves positively that this interpretation is correct. Revelation 17:9. And here is a man which hath wisdom, for the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. All the heads have been present on the beast, and the woman sitting on them proves that all seven mountains must be in the existence at the same time. They cannot be consecutive, for the woman sits on them all, which denotes one great union of the heads by the medium of the woman. They are called mountains, as Yahweh's denomination is called mountain. In the Isaiah 2:2 and Micah 4:1, the mountain singular is Yahweh's denomination, but the mountains plural by both Isaiah and Micah have reference to the same denomination represented by the heads on the beast. Thus the seven heads are the seven mountains, Revelation 17:10, and the Seventh Adventist Church is the seventh mountain. She's the seventh head, Revelation 17:10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Note that it does not say they are, but there are, therefore, the heads cannot be symbols of the kings, for the kings reign in the successive order, for the five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Note the biblical number seven, meaning completeness, as the beast also represents the wicked who shall arise from the dead on the other side of the millennium, and if all who live from the Cain unto the end of this present generation are to be raised, then the seven kings in connection with the beast must apply unto the entire world's history from creation unto the end. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Yeshua, the first, and with the last, I am he. Isaiah 41:4. As the explanation of the symbolical prophecy is first understood at this present time, and as such prophecies are only timely revealed, and the lesson derived concerns this present generation, then the prediction is a present truth. Therefore, we must consider the use of the biblical past and present tense. This grammatical rule is followed in the scriptures, and it is one way for the recognizing of the present truth. Let not the enemy trip you on this point by the vain philosophy or theology, for the scriptures are perfect in themselves. For the King James Version is as dependable as any good translation. Take heed of the explanations by the translations which you yourselves do not understand. Trust no man. Let us continue now. And we're on page 118. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, Revelation 17:10. For the king that is must be the one in existence at this present time, and the one that is not yet come must be in the future. Consequently, the five that are fallen must be in the past. This would be the only fair position for one to take without doing injury unto the holy word of Yahweh, and it has reference to the entire world's history with the sin. We must consider the number of the universal empire, all period, since the world began. For there is one before the flood, as previously explained. The second is Babylon. The third, Medo-Persia. The fourth is Grecia. And the fifth is the Roman monarchy. These five are fallen. For the one that is the present civilization since the fall of Rome, under the symbol of the leopard light, and the scarlet colored beast for the commencement of the millennium. That period is termed Rome in her broken state, represented by the feet and toes of the great image of the Daniel 2. These are the six kings. Five are fallen, and the one is. The other that is not yet come must be the period after the millennium, corresponding with the beast that is to ascend from the bottomless pit. For it is wonderful to note how Yahweh has portrayed our world's history with such perfect symbols, using numbers of the completeness in each instance. Thus, his divine plan, rule, and guide for his people is revealed from generation to generation, speaking of the seventh king, that one after the millennium. The text says, when he cometh, he must continue a short space, corresponding with that of the Revelation 20 verse 3. And after that, he, Satan, must be loosed a little season. Well, actually, it goes on to say that seventh beast goes into perdition from the 12th hour that we're in now. It comes back out at the end of the millennium, and he is called the number 8 when he comes out at the end of the millennium. He's no longer called the seventh. He is of the 8. But he's number 8, but of the 7, it says, Revelation 17:11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. Well, here it is right here. And is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. To unmask the apparent mystery, all that is necessary is to count the prophetic beast, representing periods and nations, beginning with the first beast. And as we close with the last, he must be the 8th, and yet of the 7, for the lion, Babylon is the first beast. The bear is the Medo-Persia, is the 7th. The four-headed leopard, Grecia, is the 3rd. The nondescript is Rome, number 4. For the leopard light, from the fall of the Rome to 1929, is the 5th, the one with the lamb-like horns, the United States, is the 6th, and the scarlet colored from 1929 to the end of this present world is the 7th. I have some questions about this time period for each one of these beasts. I'm going to do some more study on it and come back with y'all a little later on that. Colored from 1929 to the end of the present world is the 7th. The same scarlet color that shall ascend from the bottomless pit and go into perdition from the resurrection of the wicked unto their second death is the 8th. And the beast that was is not even here is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. He is the 8th, but is of the 7, because he was and is not, and yet is. That is, the scarlet colored beast appears on the stage of the action the second time, first prior unto the millennium, and second after the millennium. The first would be in the 12th parabolic hour before the millennium. That's when probation is still open. After the millennium, probation is long closed for 1,000 years by the second resurrection. Therefore, he is the 8th, but is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. for the second death of the wicked, simple as it is, yet most perfect. It tells the truth and corrects error. Here we see another set of the numbers, including the entire chain of the beast, for the red dragon in the Revelation 12:3 cannot be numbered with a numerous beast, for he is not a symbol of a particular nation or government. He represents Satan and his schemes of the certain times, for he is called the devil and Satan, Revelation 12:9. It says, Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. For the 10 horns denote exactly the same as on the nondescript beast, as the present civilization was embodied in that beast, Roman's monarchy, and symbolized by the horn. Just so the wicked multitude on the other side of the millennium is embodied in the scarlet beast and symbolized by the horn. Therefore they have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. This last phrase, 1 hour with the beast, will be fully explained in the connection with another study, Revelation 17:13. For these have one mind and shall go give their power and strength unto the beast. For the kings that descended from the Roman monarchy have been in the continual strife and will be unto the end, said the prophet. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. Daniel 2:43. But with the innumerable company on the other side of the millennium, will not be so. They have these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Revelation 17:13. Revelation 17:14. He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful, for the Satan shall gather the great multitude and deceive them once more, for he will marshal all the armies of the nations at the close of the 100 years against the holy city, New Jerusalem, thus making war with the Lamb. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, for the gathering them together for the battle, and for the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from the Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. And they, the devil that deceived them, was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 7 and 10. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Note that it says, not tormenting, but tormented. That is, they are punished once forever, day and night. Means that they shall be punished and destroyed in the same manner as the antediluvian by the rain day and night, water in the former and by fire in the latter. For the color of the beast scarlet revealed that Yahweh's people will have been called out by the message of the loud cry and thus be separated and distinct from the world, thus leaving the beast scarlet skin separated, a sign of the being with the condemnation, left without the excuse, ready to perish, full of the names and blasphemy, denotes the multiplicity of the sex and hypocrisy, the balance of the chapter with the will be explained in another study. Well, that's the end of that study, the scarlet colored beast. Where now our next study is the woman riding on the beast, heads and waters. That's our next part of this study. It says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Revelation 17:1. For the angel that was talking unto John is one of the seven which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues. See Revelation 15:7, 16:1. For it will be noticed that he had the vial of the plague ready, but it had not been poured out at the time he said to John, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. By the information given, it is certain that the event predicted by the symbol, the woman sitting on the beast, is shortly before the plagues are poured out and in the time when the woman is to be judged. Who is the woman riding on the beast? For the reason John was shown the vision is made clear by the words of the angel, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. For the angel's interpretation of the waters is given in the Revelation 17:15. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, for the woman sitting on them denotes that the inhabitants' waters had fallen into her trap of the deception sitting on them. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 17:4. For the woman is a symbol of a counterfeit religious system. From her cup she hands out false doctrines, being golden, that has an appearance of the splendor, inviting her costly garments of the loud colors and precious ornaments, vividly portray the magnificence of this most vile woman and her kingly pomp and vainglory. By the power of her attraction, so irresistible unto the human eye, she has conquered men of the strongest intellect, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. For the millions with the strong mental faculties, men who appear as the giants among the inhabitants of the earth, have fallen helpless victims in her trap. For the kings of the earth are guilty of the spiritual adultery with the woman, drunk with the false doctrine, thereby becoming entangled in her seductive snares. And so-called Christian organization handing out the false doctrines under an appearance of the virtue evidently is governed by the power of the woman. The origin of all such fallacious teaching can be traced back unto the golden cup, said the angel, the seven heads of the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It has been previously explained that the heads are symbols of the so-called Christian denominations, and as she sits on them all, it denotes a union of the churches under one head, the woman. The biblical number seven apprehends all such organizations. If all the churches at this present time were led by the Holy Spirit, there would be no confusion among the so-called Christian sects, as it would be impossible for all to be right while no two believes alike. It is wonderful to say that those who are drinking the wine from the cup of her fornication are not few. For the inspiration says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Revelation 17:2. Last part. Note that the woman sits on the waters, also on the heads, and on the beast. See Revelation 17:1, 3, and 9. As it would be impossible for one person to sit on all three objects at one time, the prophetic symbols reveal a spiritual fraud in three different periods. Thus John declares, I saw a woman sit on a scarlet colored beast, not upon the waters, nor upon the heads. Before he saw her, the angel said, the woman sitteth upon the many waters. It was the angel also who added the seven heads or the seven mountains on which the woman sits. See Revelation 17:1-9. Thus John saw her last exploit only sit upon the beast. Consequently, the symbol sitting on the waters is her first act according unto the vision. Therefore, her first achievement, sitting on the waters, must have been in the past from the time that the prophetic symbol is revealed. Hence, the sitting on the heads becomes her second accomplishment, and the sitting on the beast is the last, at which time she is judged. As the Protestant churches are represented by the heads, she could not have sat on them before the Reformation, for they were not as yet in the existence as the heads upon which the woman sits are unharmed. It is evident that the prophetic symbol is to meet its fulfillment some time after the deadly wound of the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:3 is healed. For the symbol sitting on the heads denotes union of the churches, and for the she sits on them. Therefore, when the Catholicism, Protestantism, and Spiritualism class each other's hand by the medium of a leg, then it could be said, the woman sitteth on the heads. For the symbol of the woman sitting on the beast will meet its fulfillment when that religious federation shall make an alliance with the powers of the world. Such an act would give the woman full control of the entire beast, horns, and head. For the world at that time, the following scripture will meet its perfect fulfillment, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. Thus the symbol of the woman sitting on the water represents the period before the Reformation. This was true during the period of the papal supremacy, for at that time the papacy ruled the Roman world. People and multitudes and nations and tongues. Thus the woman sat on the waters during the 1260-year prophetic years of the Daniel 7:25. But she is yet to sit on the head and on the beast, as she sat on the nondescript beast instead of on the waters that would have been wrongly symbolized for the woman by the tomb of the Catholicism did not reign over all the world beast, but over many people and multitudes and nations and tongues, many waters. Therefore the symbol sitting upon the scarlet colored beast denotes an international religio-political system. How long has a woman been in existence? Okay, so for the question may be answered by the following scriptures. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration, Revelation 17:6. For this could truly be said of the Roman Church, for she persecuted the Christians and martyred them. Therefore she is drunk with their blood. True, the Roman Church has had unlawful connections with the woman, was and is drunk with the wine of her fornication. For the woman did not originate with the Roman Church, but rather she produced that church. Therefore, we must trace her existence beyond the beginning of the papacy. Revelation 18:24 throws light upon the subject. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. For the holy word of Yahweh declares that the woman is guilty of the blood of the martyrs in all ages. Therefore the woman is drunk with the blood of Abel, and thus the blood of all the martyrs is found in her, proving that Cain was her first client by presenting a counterfeit sacrifice, false doctrine, and by slaying his brother. There are many so-called Christians who, like Cain, say, it makes no difference. One thing is as good as another. But Yahweh accepts no substitute and no man's religion. That which human wisdom has divides is a man's righteousness, and not the righteousness of the Yahshua. Therefore, it is an abomination in the Yahweh's sight. For the human fiber of the obedience unto the divine requirements being weakened, and the sinful inclination strengthened from generation to generation, for the nature of the man cannot be better at this present time than when the disciples asked, Yahshua, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So called Christians like the Pharisees become offended when told of their errors and rebuked for their sin. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:12-14. And upon her forehead was her name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of the harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17:5. For the woman riding on the beast is the mother. For the seven heads on the beast are the symbols of her daughters, a harlot. Catholicism is her first daughter in this symbol. And as a Protestantism sprang from Catholicism, then apostate Protestantism and the multiplicity of the sex are her daughters also. Or it may be said, the woman is the mother of Catholicism, and Catholicism is the mother of Protestantism, says the Revelator. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, Revelation 17:3. Thus the number of the heads and full of the names include all the offshoots from the Protestantism and Catholicism. Had there been no mention made of being full of the names, more than seven, and scarlet, which denotes that Yahweh's people have been called out of it, therefore, scarlet stem under curse, ready to perish, the biblical number seven heads would have included those who are carrying Yahweh's message, as in the period of the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1, at the time his deadly wound was healed. Therefore, they would have made no allowance for the church which keeps the commandments of the Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua, and thus it would have contradicted the following scripture. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, Yahweh's church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, Israel, the true, the 144,000, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Revelation 12:17. Yahweh has never had more than one movement in existence at a time. And it could not be otherwise now, for Yahshua cannot be divided. See 1 Corinthians 1:13. Yahweh's church is well marked in every generation by the obedience to the present truth, for the fact itself proves the claim. True as there is only one church in the period of the beast, which has the spirit of the prophecy and all of the commandments, as written by the finger of the Yahweh, said the Yahshua. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 5:19. It is this divine principle that shall divide the world into two classes, the commandments of Yahweh and the traditions of men. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, and but the goats on the left. Matthew 25:32-33. This brings the end of that study. So also the study for this hour brings us to our close.